Good evening, everyone. Let me, before I begin the homily, tell you something about the week I've had up in Baltimore at the bishop's meeting. Some of you certainly have seen in the Courier Journal last Sunday a full article about the issues of sexual abuse within the church. And indeed, maybe I hope you've seen also my letter to the editor that was also in the record this Thursday, in which I agreed with certain things and disagreed with others. What did I agree with? I agreed with the fact that it was a dark day in the church. Is that me making that noise? I don't mean the speaking, I meant the microphone. It was a dark day in the church when we had priests, or about Bishop McCarrick, abuse the sacred trust of a child or a young person. That's horrendous. There's no place for it. The news that has come to light throughout the world had someone write a letter to me, a woman who's 78 years old, who 70 years ago was abused by a priest who died in 1963. She had never shared that for 70 years. These things are horrendous. We must oppose and be strict in never allowing that to happen again. No one debates that. The thing that I do debate is the fact that in the last 15 years, many positive steps have been taken by many of you who are serving as volunteers or as staff people. Those things need not only, they can't be ignored, they need to be encouraged. Because without those steps, the church will not address the problem of abuse. And so I ask your prayers, but I ask you to be knowledgeable, to read the record and to read the reports that are going on. For the last 15 years, some very positive steps have been taken. They must be taken, they must be continued. And I pledge to you that there's not a priest who is serving within the archdiocese, who has a credible charge of abuse. There's no one. And nor will there be. But we need your help and your prayers and your support. So I thank you for that. And I invite you to continue to be knowledgeable. I've begun to send what's called Archbishop Leadership Briefings to all the priests and anybody who is on a parish council list that we have their emails of. So if you're not getting that and would like a copy of that, please see Father Michael, your pastor, next week and ask him if he would share his copies with you. I thank you for that. I want to also talk to you about the readings of sacred scripture tonight, because guess what? We're in November. Just as we experienced in March, April, and May, spring, and new life. And just as in the summer we saw the green and growth, in the fall we see the leaves falling off the trees and we prepare for winter. And the liturgical calendar of the year follows that pattern. So it's not a surprise that in December we celebrate Christmas and the beginning of the study of salvation, Lent, Easter, but now in November, we remember the end of time. During the month of November, in the record, we've had special editorials that talk about death and dying and praying for those who have died. I must tell you that when I grew up, I would, with my mother, visit the graves of people who are loved ones who died. And I'm not sure that practice is continuing. We live in a culture in which we tend to want to pretend that death will not touch each of our lives. You notice that there are people, when a loved one dies, often they don't want a funeral mass, or they want to do things as quickly as possible so as not to have to think about the reality of death. Well, the readings of sacred scripture are coming from what's called an apocalyptic style. An apocalyptic style is to talk in large letters about the end of time and the judgment. In fact, the words of Jesus actually refer to the 8th chapter of the book of Daniel, which we heard quoted in our first reading today. The word apocalypse actually comes from two Greek words, which means to remove the veil. To remove the veil. And in fact, the Latin, we have the word reveal, the removal of the veil. And so the last book of the Bible, what's called the Apocalypse, has been also called the book of Revelation. And it is saying that we may live our life each day as if life here on earth will go on forever. But we know. We know that our loved ones who age are called back to the Lord. And we know that death will be part of each of our lives. And so you and I are given a choice tonight. One is to live and follow the lives of the saints, or to live the life of a secular world. The secular world would have us fear and ignore death. But the lives of the saints are very specific. The saint says, "This day is precious. This day is given to me as a gift. And the people who have been placed in my life, they're a gift to me. And the opportunities I have to love and serve others today, that is a gift. It's a gift that is precious, that will not be forever." And so it is right that Jesus would say in the gospel, today is the day of salvation. Today is the day for you and me to accept Jesus as our Savior, and with his grace and help, to treat others as precious gifts in our life, as indeed they are. And so today, as we ask the Lord to bless us, as the year comes to a close, the liturgical year, we ask that we might, in a spirit of true thanksgiving, which we'll celebrate on Thursday, give thanks for the blessings and even the suffering in our life, for they are opportunities for us to draw close to the Lord Jesus and to see death not as something to be avoided, but as something for which this day we prepare. We ask the Lord to bless us, that all the gifts he has given us will be precious in our eyes as they are precious in his sight.